gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by Hacksaw Nick Davey.
Good evening.
I'm free time. Oh,
you whip, say.
I'm free time wrestling author Oliver Newman.
Good evening.
How does it even, lads?
As professional good evenings that goes, that was up there, Oliver. Very professional start to the show, apart from the whole chant.
I met Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the NEC in 2001, and all of the fans were doing that. It was brilliant.
I'm still waiting for the day he turns up at Progress.
He started it, and there was like, must have been like a few thousand people there, and it just reverberated around the room. Brilliant.
Yeah, when I interviewed him, Big Guns Joe, his next match was going to be getting an 8-man tag against Hacksaw. It's was it Future Shock?
First ever World Rumble winner.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, he looks well as well, because he was at full of a wrestling. He walked past our table a couple of times.
Can I just say what my favourite ever Hacksaw Jim Duggan moment is?
Yeah.
Do you remember that segment on Raw once when Mr. McMahon, they were announcing who Mr. McMahon's legitimate son was, when they were basically getting rid of the people who it wasn't, and then Jim Duggan was out there, and Vince McMahon just goes, hang on a minute, Jim Duggan's old enough to be my father.
Right, so we've got
and he's just recently had surgery, hasn't he? So
Yeah.
Get well soon, Hacksaw. Oh.
Right, so we've got a few news bits before we get into Stomping Grounds. WWE have given permission for talent to work on the upcoming tribute show to Lionheart. It's brilliant news. Preston City Wrestling announced on Twitter on Monday that WWE are allowing its talent to appear or work on the show, which is set for June the 28th, and will feature the Lionheart Memorial Trophy Tournament. All proceeds from this event will go to Lionheart's family, which is... Yeah, we did mention on our interview last week that about the passing. I do want to send our condolences to his family again. Somebody I never got to see live, unfortunately.
Yeah, I never saw him live as well. It's obviously it's never a, it is a shame for obviously the wrestling industry, especially the UK wrestling. I mean, again, like to reiterate, I didn't know him too well, as in I didn't see him live. But judging by when someone, and obviously someone is in the news, and you just go back and read through tweets and everything about Lionheart, it just seems like the amount of work, the amount of effort and everything's put in, and he's another fantastic contributor to where the UK wrestling scene is today, because it's the top of the game. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he's a major, major person to thank for all his hard efforts. And it's obviously just such a shame of what's happened, obviously of the tragedy and everything, and everything that's happened with it. But as I say, it's just the most upsetting thing is we can't say thank you, I think, we as wrestling fans, for all of the hard work and everything he has done for, as I say, to get the UK wrestling scene where it is.
Yeah, to echo your guys' thoughts, I only saw him once for ICW in Wolverhampton, and he played the great bad guy, and the fans hated him and stuff, but with all the love that's been shown on social media, it's, you know, it's a huge shame that this has happened. And then obviously with the news that's come out afterwards, you know, he's an absolute hero for what he was able to do, and it's a real shame. It's a real shame that he couldn't see what he meant to people.
Yeah.
Maybe when he was alive, obviously The Rock reached out, and that's his favorite wrestler. And like, there isn't anyone that could say a bad word about him, really. Obviously, he come back from the Styles Clash that was messed up and broke his neck. He was never going to wrestle again. He come back a year later. Yeah, and it's just a real shame. Definitely one of the pioneers of British wrestling. This new generation that's come through. Yeah, it's just a real shame.
I would also just like to say as well that I think, again, this just makes wrestling better than a lot of other communities, I guess, in a way that when something so sad does happen, that straight away, I mean, your whole Twitter feed, your social media is just bombarded by the amount of tributes come flooding in from everyone almost connected. It's almost we are a tight wrestling, we're all one tight family, almost like everyone who loves this, one who loves the sport. It's when it isn't supposed to say nice in a way.
We've lost you there.
Why?
Oh, yeah, we lost you a bit there, Nick.
Oh, really? Sorry, it's only kind of one of my ears.
I think just quickly to add on to that as well, in terms of getting in contact with The Rock, people were tweeting whoever they could tweet to try and get to The Rock. So I kind of understand where Nick's coming from there, everyone coming together. That's what he would have wanted, to be able to reach out to The Rock and obviously speak to The Rock in some kind of capacity. Unfortunately, it didn't happen when he was alive, but it was a nice little thing that The Rock did after he passed away. And obviously, British Wrestling coming together, a tribute show, you know, just over a week after he passes away, everyone willing to work together again is just fantastic. And, you know, the GoFundMe, you know, that raised a lot more money than they actually wanted to raise in the first place, which is amazing. And obviously all the, all the funds and everything that they get from this tribute show go to his family. So, yeah, at least there's not a shortfall when it comes to paying for funeral costs and stuff. The British wrestling community's been able to help them with that, so that's really great.
Right, so also Impact Wrestling's teamed up with FC Dallas for a series of promotions and events leading up to the Slammiversary, which will be held in Dallas. One of them is the current Impact champion and friend of the show. Could call him a friend of the show if interviewed him before. Brian Cage will be participating in a special halftime promotion where he'll be taking a penalty against the team mascot, a bull called Tex Hopper.
You can call anyone a friend of the show as long as you've interviewed them, Chris.
Yeah.
Hell, even if we haven't, they're a friend of the show. They know who we are.
So Impact Wrestling presents Slammiversary on Sunday, July 7th. Be live from Gillies, Dallas. Brian Cage defends his title against another friend of the show, Michael Elgin. So, and we will have
everyone's a friend of the show.
We'll have another great interview with Michael Elgin on next week's show. It was conducted by Stephen Jackson, conducted on our behalf. So thank you for Stephen for doing that for us. Major League Wrestling made a few signings, which I think both of you will be happy about. So for WWE legend Savio Vega has signed on for the July tapings, 54 years old. And this one, you'll be interested in this one, Nick. Timothy Thatcher has also signed on.
Ooh, now he's
brilliant.
Yeah, he's somebody I really want to see live.
Yeah, he was great in Evolve with Drew Gulak.
Yeah,
and I believe Matt Riddle in Jeez, what's the team called?
Ring Camp.
I can't remember. I can't remember if I've heard.
He's the original Ring Camp, though.
Yeah.
Dixell Jr. and Walter, they're the original three. And Thatcher's class in the ring. And one of my best ever Riptide moments was when he was the surprise tag team.
Yeah.
There, which was brilliant, but also Triple Threat match was brilliant at Alexandra Palace a couple of years ago, where it was Riddle versus Walter versus Thatcher.
Wow, that was
great.
It was a very epic Triple Threat match. And then after the match, I've forgotten his name, but yeah, it was a great match. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, MLW have also announced that Tony Schiavone will be coming back to the
Wolfgang. Sorry, at the end of the match, Wolfgang came out and the crowd went mild.
Wow.
I would like to reiterate mild, not mild. Sorry.
MLW have also announced that legendary commentator Tony Schiavone will be returning to the broadcast booth to call their flagship show. MLW Fusion for the January tapings as well. So that's good.
And to quote Steven Jackson, this is the greatest night in the history of our sport.
It's going to be really good. So. And finally,
when he commentated and it wasn't like fed through and stuff, Tony Schiavone's fantastic.
Yeah.
It was just that line that me and Steven picked up, and it was like, that's quite funny because that's when it was very corporate, the commentary and stuff. But yeah, Schiavone on form is fantastic.
And finally, we have launched our very own website, finally. So, brokenglorious.com.
Nerds!
it looks very nice. We've got a bunch of news on the website and stuff. That's what I noticed on the mobile page. Looks really good. Chris doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so you can not only find all our podcasts and interviews, but all the latest news from WWE, New Japan, Impact, Major League Wrestling, Progress, the rest of the business scene, plus more. So please check it out. So.
And also as well, if you sign in, then there's a chance you can win 2 tickets to WWE pay-per-view of your choice. All you have to do is enter your 16-digit card number and 3-digit security code on the card. Oh, an expiry date.
When somebody does that though, Nick, you're going to get done for fraud.
Yeah, I know. I'm just not really, that'd be a bit of editing.
This is almost as good as the time when you said you were going to watch an illegal stream instead of paying for Sky when you worked for Sky.
Good thing I don't work, well, I still kind of do, but that's another story.
Back to the podcast.
Yeah. We're not a scam.
No, not a scam at all.
Hello, this is Flynn Arlo, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Right, so, Stomping Ground. I thought, except for the two title matches, this was a really, really good show.
I think, this is my view of the show, it was, given my expectations, and I'm sure you guys' expectations for the show.
No expectations for the show.
Exactly, yeah. I imagine it was bottom. Going into it, and then when the match, when it all started, I think you guys saw me in chatting in the group chat last night. I was like, oh, I'm enjoying this. This is great. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, getting to a point where I was like, this could really actually, this is dangerously close to becoming one of my favourite WWE pay-per-views of this calendar year. This continues getting better and better.
I think the first 2 hours was probably.
Not yet.
You've not watched the kickoff show. You've not seen the Cruiserweight title match.
I've seen the highlights of it.
I've seen the highlights and I heard it was brilliant. But
that was a fantastic match.
It was just getting better and better. So the Cruiserweight was getting off to a, it got to a flying start. Then it just got better and better and better, I found. And then it just got to a point where, as you say, the last penultimate matches, it just dropped in there and.
I think the first 2 hours of the show is up there with anything they've put out this year. Yeah, I agree with that. So. No, I just didn't like to see how much.
I think, you know, when it's all said and done and stuff, I think it was a show that I went into with low expectations, and I was like, okay, please under promise and over deliver. And I think it did. So, you know, looking forward to talking about the different matches and stuff.
I think, yeah, that's the thing. I think it was more of a positive feel to the show than a negative one. But again, I think that was more down to no expectations. But yeah, so I'm still looking forward to reviewing it. And I think when it finished and all was said and done, when I finished watching last night, I did come away not wanting to throw my PS4 controller on the floor as I shut down the network. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, definitely. So before we get into matches, what are your thoughts on WWE pushing the Rollins Lynch real life relationship on TV?
We all saw it coming, didn't we? I personally don't have an issue with it. As long as they don't overdo it, I don't think it's for a one off storyline or what have you, I don't think it's the end of the world in doing it, and if they just keep it casual on screen, no problems at all with it.
She didn't look comfortable at the end though.
I think it was obvious it was coming though, that's the thing. I think they overdid it, especially with Michael Cole making, I think it was like three hints that they're all three like going, oh, it's a big night for Becky Lynch's boyfriend, Seth Rollins, so it was obvious that was going to play into it somehow. Yeah. And obviously we saw the last month or so them backstage having non-talking segments where it's just been them standing with each other. So I think it was obvious, but as I say, got no problems now for a one-off storyline, and if it's just going to be a casual for the foreseeable, fine, but just to say, don't overdo it. I don't want them to do what they did with Nikki Bella towards the end, where every single feud she got in, it was just a John Cena mention. I don't want them to do that now with Becky, because it will just completely undo all of the fantastic work as well that she's done over the last year or so, and so it will just, it could go tits up completely. But I think, as I say, at the moment, I've got no real problems with it.
If Becky Lynch is the man, does that mean Seth Rollins is the woman?
No, didn't you hear Renee Young said he's the man's man?
Yeah.
The man's man.
The man's man.
He's a real man's man.
Yeah.
Quite funny if he did come out of a shirt with it.
If he came out to Regal's old music, that'd be amazing.
I don't really have a problem. Lynch didn't look comfortable at all. They didn't at the end, and it doesn't quite fit with their character. So having a boyfriend, I don't see it. But I don't know. As long as they're both comfortable with it, I don't have any problem with it. And I hope they don't do like they have a wedding at SummerSlam or something.
No. As I say, I wanted just to be maybe this one-off feud because there's worse things they could do with both of them. I will get into the main event a bit more in detail, but later on about the ref choice. But but for them to be an on-screen thing, I've got no problems as long as it's not overdone. And as I say, it's simply not overdone, really.
Right, so the show.
When you look at it, though, sorry, Chris. When you look at it, if it isn't Baron Corbin against Seth Rollins, I'm not really sure who else could go against him.
Yeah, I mean,
considering who's other people are feuding with already.
Andrade and, well, I suppose you can't really do Andrade and Charlotte.
Well, Andrade is on SmackDown, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, but the wild card, baby!
If they're going to do a couples match, I'd much prefer it to be against Charlotte and Andrade.
Andrade, yeah.
I suppose
that'd be amazing.
Zelina Vega and Black.
Gargano and Candice LeRae.
Yeah, there was a thing on Twitter today, if there was mixed tag team matches between the couples in WWE, it would actually be outstanding. and all the ones you've just mentioned would probably be the reason why.
Graves and Carmella, breaking the fourth wall.
Right, so the show opened with Becky defeating Lacey Evans, and I thought it was a pretty good match overall. There was a few positioning issues by Evans in the beginning where Becky missed a few spots, and you could audibly hear Becky calling the next spot, which I thought I found a bit distracting. I like Lacey's character. I just don't think she's at title level yet of her wrestling ability.
Yeah. I think this match was better than last month's.
Yes,
in all honesty. So that was money in the bank, wasn't it? Yeah. Not sure what she did to get the title shot, considering she lost last time. But in terms of the match, I thought it was obviously there were doors issues and stuff, but I've only seen those issues just in clips afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was, you know, it's hard hitting. It was backwards and forwards, back and forth. Sorry, I didn't know who was going to win. I said Lacey in the predictions because I didn't see her being built up and then losing on two straight pay per views, and that's exactly what happened. So I'm not quite sure why they did that, but. Yeah, I thought it was a good start to the show, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think by Becky's high standards, it wasn't the best match she's had. Again, I kind of agree with you, Chris. I think Lacey Evans is showing signs of being a great character in WWE. She's done really well on the mic and what have you, and just in this whole general feud. When it comes to, as you say, a title wrestler, when it actually comes to a wrestling match as a whole, in fact, regardless of the belts on the line, lots to work on, I think. Not being too impressed. I mean, I don't know how much he had in NXT, to be honest. And judging by someone who's watched a lot of takeovers, I don't remember it being in a lot of takeovers. So,
no.
I think, yeah. So, great character.
She was only there for about 6 months, wasn't she, I think?
Yeah, it wasn't long at all, was it? So
I think it's one of those situations where they've seen this character, they like this character, and then they just they've just thrown her out there, basically. And it was like, it's like sink or swim.
Yeah, but I mean, there's lots of positive signs. I mean, you've seen all wrestlers they've come in, they've struggled at certain, and they've taken it to the next step. So
mm-hmm.
Not writing her off completely. And say, as long as she keeps her character up, because at the end of the day, a lot of wrestlers, especially in WWE, if you're still strong as a character, that can almost bear sometimes off wrestling matches. It's too early to slate her and write her off almost, but yeah, in terms of of what we've seen in the past, especially over the last 12 months with Becky and female title matches as a whole, it wasn't as great as we've seen.
So, who would you move Becky onto as their next challenger?
Well, I mean, judging by the main event, it sadly looks like this feud's not really going anywhere, sadly. Well, I'll get into that a bit later on, but. On the spot, I don't really know.
I'm struggling to think who's on Raw and who's on SmackDown.
Well, I thought
that's because of the amazing wild card rule.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I was hoping they would maybe have like a filler feud almost till for Extreme Rules, just for potentially Rousey at SummerSlam. And judging by what happened in the main event, yeah, I'm still holding out for maybe Ronda Rousey, Becky in a one-on-one match at SummerSlam.
I haven't heard anything about Rousey. She's not pregnant after a pregnancy vacation, whatever it's called.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. So, I don't know.
Well, if she is, then that's not happening, is it? not heard anything, but that's a good thing on keeping someone quiet at some time. I quite like that as well. If someone is on, because I'm a big fan of giving wrestlers time off as a whole, and I'm almost double fan of keeping them quiet, keep them off screen references, let them just do whatever they want on. So their own personal social media and just keep it all a bit quiet, hush hush. Mm-hmm. So I'm still holding out for that at SummerSlam.
Shayna Baszler against Becky would be good at SummerSlam.
Also, Baszler's been ready to come up for always. I don't think she ever needed to go to NXT. She was always
ready. No, but if she gets the call up,
yeah,
which you've got to think's got to happen after this NXT Women's Championship feud with Io Shirai, then hopefully it'll be finished and the title change hands and stuff before SummerSlam. And then she's kind of good to go, really.
So you think she'll lose the cage match tomorrow?
I don't know if it'll be necessarily the cage match, but maybe they'll, you know, they've got a little bit of time before SummerSlam, so maybe the title changes hands to EO or somebody else before then, and then Shayna Baszler gets called up. But they're going to have to rush through if they want to do these four horsewomen against four horsewomen.
That could be years down the line.
And Survivor Series, that's probably not going to happen this year. So
yeah, then Duke and Shafir are nowhere near ready for the main roster. With Rousey gone.
Sasha's not exactly on an on-screen weekly character at the moment.
Alright, so main event. I thought this was crap.
You know what? I thought this was worst match of the night, which is really disappointing because, I'll start with the ref because I was hoping it was going to be a surprise name. I did almost bring myself, though, as I mentioned earlier, when Michael Cole was mentioning Becky, I thought it was obvious where it was going. It was going to be a female ref.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, as Oliver kind of just said, going back to what Oliver said, I was actually holding out for either Rousey or Shayna Baszler to be the ref. So
it was rumours earlier in the week that would be Baszler.
When I watched What Culture's Last Minute Rumours You Need to Know About, it was that. And I almost sold it to me. I was like, I could binds that. So could imagine her being a proper hard nut ref as well. So I was brought myself to it being a female, so I'd almost gone, okay, it's not me Brock prattling around, which I really wanted. Then I was like, okay, so it's gonna be it's gonna be a female, which again I was pretty happy about then. It was announced as Lacey Evans. The first thing Kane's made was, oh, for God's sake, they're keeping this feud going really for another match. So that just made me in a bad mood. The match itself was probably actually one of the weakest, and that's not just because of that, but that's probably actually one of the weakest, if not the weakest, on the card.
It was the weakest.
And funny enough, it was said about Lacey Evans, it's the same for Baron Corbin. I quite like his character, which is this dickhead, as this dickhead sort of guy who, but stats really don't speak for themselves. I can't remember the last wrestling match he actually had in the whole of WWE where it was good. He's even managed to make crap matches against Steph, Nakamura, Cena, I think. He just seems to... And the ratings with him at the top of the card and stuff is really... It's where Raw's ratings are really dying. I know they've even mentioned it on camera as well about him being a ratings killer. It is generally looking like the truth. So... As I say, I didn't enjoy the match. So I was hoping that would be the end of Seth and Corbin's feud, but it probably won't be, will it? I think it's all set up for them to have a mixed tag match. Hopefully, on Raw, just gets it out of the way and it's done and dusted, but I imagine it'll probably be a...
I'm guessing Extreme Rules, both titles.
Yeah, winner takes all. Yeah, definitely winner takes all. That's what I reckon it'll be. So, but it was probably the worst match, which actually wrecked. As I said, a pay-per-view I was slowly getting really, really into and really enjoying, and then it just sort of made me go, right, that's why I didn't have any expectations, this pay-per-view sort of thing. So, but as I say, I was most disappointed with the ref choice, but then the match itself. I would like to say one positive, just try and keep on a positive spin. I did enjoy the bump of Seth throwing Corbin through the table. That was quite a good spot.
No, I disagree. In all honesty, I thought it was good because if you watch the video package when he was attacking different guys with the steel chair, it was like, oh, okay, which guy it's going to be. And then when it was Lacey Evans, I thought it was good because they were playing on the fact that Becky's obviously Seth Rollins' his girlfriend and Lacey's trying to get one over on Becky and Seth by him being the special guest referee. And then with the no DQs and the no count outs, it felt very attitude era like, when like Vince McMahon was saying Steve Austin by my hand only, in terms of a pinfall, and to bring it forward to like nowadays and stuff, it was like Reigns versus AJ Styles for the WWE title, when that was like no DQ and no count out. So it was very similar to those two instances. But I think the match was good. The fans went crazy when Becky came out. I just think it was the best it can be for the two guys involved in the match. Seth Rollins can obviously have better matches, but with regards to Baron Corbin and stuff, it is more about his character. It's more about Lacey's character as well. That might be the best that Baron Corbin can do. So that's why I thought it was good for what it was, really.
Okay, I thought it was crap. I thought it was 10 minutes too long. They could have told the same story in 10 minutes, maybe even 5 minutes. Nearly 20 minutes long. It was awful.
The main event, if it's the main event, you've got to go longer, haven't you, really, than Ashley Goldberg against Brock Lesnar.
Not just going to be crap. You could have a good 5 minute match. But I thought it was an interesting idea having Lacey in, but all the horrible special referee tropes have killed the match for me. And then as soon as Evans comes out, the fans were just looking at the entrance ramp for the whole match, wondering when Becky's going to come down.
And the only other, I guess, bad thing about it was the referee who counted the pinfall against Baron Corbin was the same referee that counted the pinfall in the end.
Nicholas is
so
dead.
That's why you know the feud will probably continue.
Nicholas is dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jack Code.
Should I tell you why I saw Nicholas' first ever match? I was in the real building when it happened.
Oh, you think Strayman was going to pick you?
Well, I did too. He said Nicholas. I was like, what?
Get in the ring.
So can we please have a new challenger for Rollins, please? Let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
Who do you reckon actually will be, let's say that tag match does happen at X shows, any realistic opponent for SummerSlam?
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
It's got to be Drew McIntyre. I can't believe they're struggling to press the button on this.
I can only think it's the only reason of taking the title off Samoa Joe is so we'll go into the world title soon.
Oh, that's a good show.
Somebody who could really challenge him, in all honesty, but it's been like a year in the making for Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, isn't it? Because obviously tag team and Rollins and Ambrose and Ziggler and McIntyre were kind of keeping Raw afloat, weren't they? You know, the instead of the SmackDown 6, it was the Raw 4, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be good to see that. I mean, I don't know if it'll main event, but that's something I can sink my teeth into. I think it'd be fantastic. And Rollins versus Joe, well, that's how Joe debuted on Raw, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Two storylines. That would be better than what we've currently got.
Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 4,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 110 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
Next up, probably my match of the night, so Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn got a much needed win over the New Day.
This was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it was just the way it kind of went 100 miles an hour at the beginning. There was such an urgency to try and win the match. And then, obviously, when all four men went down in the ring and the fans were just, you know, given the standing ovation, you realise you've just witnessed, you know, this is amazing. It's amazing tag team wrestling. It's amazing wrestling in general. And it's what makes you proud to be a wrestling fan, to be honest.
Well, this just, again, we've mentioned it. I've been critical of this a lot. Not critical, just praising it a lot and saying how much I love it. Tag team wrestling is my favourite part of wrestling, I think, as wrestling as a whole in any promotion. Tag team wrestling is what I love. And this was my match of the night.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant. I loved them, as Oliver just mentioned. I loved the way how quick out of the blocks it was. It had a purpose. It all made sense that they're angry, they're pissed off, they want to win. It builds in fine. Building, brilliant storyline, really built into that. These are two angry heels. They're angry with everything, basically. Connected. They're angry, they keep losing. They're angry with the matches they're getting put in. Brilliant booking. So I enjoyed that. But the match itself was just brilliant. And again, Owens and Zayn, we know they're absolutely fantastic individuals, should be used way better than they are. Big E, again, we've seen him, brilliant, brilliant big man. Again, probably someone else I'd like to see maybe see a bit better off, maybe in like feuds with other big wrestlers. But Xavier Woods, I thought, was absolutely outstanding as well in this. And again, I think with the New Day, Kofi's always been the one that gets obviously obvious praise, and rightfully so. Big E's always obviously been known as the enforcer. Woods, again, is just fantastic wrestler, and I know it is mentioned quite a lot, in all fairness, that people say he's not just the mic boy in the New Day, he is can wrestle, and again he just proved how brilliant he was.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely. I really, really want them to do this. I really want to see a New Day triple threat match for the WWE title at SummerSlam. I know we mentioned on the show this tag match has got me thinking that would be class. I reckon the chemistry and everything would just be so, so good.
If they did it at Extreme Rules, they did Owen Zayn and Kofi for the title in some type of Extreme Rules match, I think that would be amazing. And then maybe leave the New Days for like a SummerSlam or a Survivor Series type thing.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. And I just thought, but for tag team wrestling, it was great. And I just really, I really hope, because I did actually enjoy also the SmackDown tag team division match as well on this, and I just really hope that because they've got, as we know, this blatantly obvious, they've got some great tag team. So we know secret how angry we've all been at how badly booked they've been on WWE, a lot of the tag teams. So I just really hope over this last month that it's going to be a priority. And we've seen them obviously sort the women's division out. I really hope they sort the tag team division out and make it what we've grown up, what everyone's grown up being, what we know it is, and what NXT is and what AEW can do. Brilliant tag team wrestling.
And just quickly going back to who should be the Universal title or WWE champion, next contender and stuff. You know, the only way you can kind of bring him back, Bray Wyatt.
I've got so much views on Bray Wyatt, I don't want to go off on a tangent.
I wouldn't put him straight into a title feud.
I think you've got to, based on what's happened.
Would not bring him onto TV until the Royal Rumble. I'm enjoying the Firefly Funhouse segment so much. It's the best thing in WWE. I've got absolutely no faith in WWE whatsoever to make it work. I just think that it's just going to be the matter of time until it's gone and we never see this great character again. So keep him off TV as long as possible. Well, live TV. Live TV, anyway. So I should have made myself a bit more clear. Live TV, because the Fly House is what's actually kept me watching TV regularly. And it's just, it's brilliant.
First thing I watch on a Tuesday morning is the Firefly Funhouse segment. So.
Exactly. It's the number one thing.
It's on WWE's YouTube channel, isn't it? So yeah. That's the easiest way to watch it.
I just don't trust WWE whatsoever to book it right, so I just want to keep enjoying it, and I would happily tap and stretch it out to the Royal Rumble. That's how I think it more says of how badly I don't trust the WWE.
I don't think they can stretch it out that far, Nick.
Just don't take it from me. I don't want to see that little buzzard go anywhere.
Can we move on to the WWE title match? So I haven't got much to say about Kofi beating Dolph Ziggler. I said on the last show that I feel Kofi's reign is feeling very mid-card at the moment.
I thought it was a boring match, but I really did enjoy the finish to the match.
It's like the most least brutal cage match ever, but it had a cool finish.
Well, I think it also
the finish was fantastic.
cage matches, I've always found cage matches are quite samey with finishes and what have you. And I personally don't like the cage match.
I don't mind cage matches. I don't like the fact they can open a door. That's what I don't like.
Well, I always say with logic in a cage match, why don't they just jump out? So it was nice to actually see someone do a bit of logic with Kofi. I know it was a bit more than him just jumping out the door. It was a bit more entertaining than him flipping himself over.
I was thinking at the time, when was the last time somebody won by going through the door and then Kofi jumped out like a second later?
Well, I can't remember a face ever doing it. Like, you know, it's usually a way a heel wins it, isn't it? If they squeeze out or they get knocked out. Because I remember that was a good cage match. I think it was CM Punk versus Jericho once on Raw when the cage just whacked into Jericho, or the door whacked into Jericho and he fell out. But no, I mean, I'm not really a huge fan of cage matches, unless they've done like quite well. I didn't really enjoy this match, to be honest. That's why I said I think it went a bit downhill. This was the match that started making it go a bit downhill, the pay-per-view. And no, I didn't really enjoy it, but I did like the ending massively, which I thought was cool. And I do hope this feud's done its time, because I quite enjoyed it in the build-up to the Saudi show, to be fair. I quite like the way Ziggler was on the mic, but then I think, judging by the go-home show before Stomping Grounds and Raw, it seemed very samey, the promo, and it was almost like they're running out of ideas of how they're going to take it to the next level. So I think it's the right time for this feud to finish, because there's only so many times he can shout it should have been me. As much as good as it he's been doing it, you can't, I just don't see how he can expand anymore. And I know, isn't Dolph on like a Dolph's not actually on a full-time deal anymore, is he?
I'm not sure what his deal is. I know he took time off to concentrate on his comedy stand-up.
Yeah, well, I know he's done a lot of that. So whether I don't know whether he's going to be hanging around for any longer, I don't know. Whether he'll just appear when it comes to these Saudi shows or what have you.
Whatever city Extreme Rules is in, they're advertising a triple threat match between Kofi Ziggler and Owens for Extreme Rules.
It's in Philadelphia. It's in
Philadelphia. So on the locally, that's what they're advertising. So it looks like we're going to get at least one more match out of this.
Do you guys remember John Cena versus Bray Wyatt in the cage?
Oh, they had the horrible child singing.
Yeah, and did Wyatt win that match?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because he was about to walk out of the cage, and then that child was on the stairs singing at him.
That's all I remember. In terms of the best cage match of all time, go and watch Bret Hart versus Owen Hart from SummerSlam 94, and then you'll see that a cage match can be done properly. But I think in this situation,
not Bundy versus Hogan from WrestleMania 2.
Sorry, Chris.
Not Bundy versus Hogan from WrestleMania 2.
Or Bundy versus Hogan from WrestleMania 2. Or Bossman versus Hogan from Saturday Night Main Event.
I don't know how they expected Bundy to climb over a cage.
Yeah, and in all seriousness with this cage match and stuff, it's like, I could understand the storyline because they've had parallel careers up until this point. And I thought, you know, at points it was, how a cage match should be, but I think, like you guys have said, the most telling part of the match was the finish, and it was really something we hadn't seen before, so that's pretty cool. But that's all I can say about it, really.
It's your boy Hot Fire, and you're tuning in to Broken But Glorious.
So for a nothing pay-per-view, where nothing was meant to happen, we did have two title changes. Ricochet won the US title from Samoa Joe in a very good match.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was close to being my match of the night. So I think they played off each other's strengths really well. Joe being the bully, beating the crap out of Ricochet for most of the match, and Ricochet being the resilient babyface with all the flash. And it was quite welcome and surprising title change, I thought.
I had it on my predictions. I thought that Ricochet would win based on the fact that obviously new to the company, and if he's in a match, in a title match, I thought he'd win. and I just want to share a couple of polls with you guys. Just bear with me one second. What was your WWE Stomping Grounds match of the night? We've got Other was 3%, and people told me about the 205 live match was Akira Tozawa, Drew Gulak and Tony Nese. Mm-hmm. Another person said Daniel Bryan and Rowan against Heavy Machinery, which we'll talk about. The Steel Cage match got 10%. Zayn and Owens versus New Day got 33%, but the winner of the match of the night was Ricochet versus Samoa Joe.
Well, I thought this match, well, this match was always going to be my prediction for match of the night. I thought it, I thought this match was going to deliver, and I'm glad it did because it was brilliant. And yeah, I wouldn't, if people said this was match of the night, I wouldn't disagree. It's just for my personal preference. I just love tag team wrestling, so that's why I gave it to the New Day, Zayn Owens. But no, I'm really happy. And I really did enjoy everything about the match for as a whole. But also, yeah, it was a general shock factor I found to it as well. I know it's good to hear that people did actually have the Ricochet down as prediction. For me, I was generally really, really shocked to the point where I was like, really, has that actually happened? And you're sort of almost like, you're waiting for like sign, like a shoddy finish or sign call for them to go to a replay, and so I was waiting for that. So I was generally shocked when Ricochet did actually win, and I was a big fan of the backstage touch as well. His first title, and I like the way they mention that, like it, oh, it's his first title on the main roster. Triple H out there giving them.
Did anyone think it was weird Charlotte being there?
Yeah, that was a bit weird, given someone who's so high up. I mean, I don't mind a few. I don't want it to be such a crowded dressing. I almost like it if it's like a few of the NXT guys.
Yeah.
That are back there. And I like the way that Tucker Knight and OTS are waiting to go out for their match, which I like that because it almost adds a bit of just a nice flow to the pay-per-view sort of thing. So it just keeps it going. Little basic things like that I like. But I do like the way that Triple H was on hand to offer a handshake. I think they should do that quite often with NXT people who win. Because obviously, usually Triple H uploads a photo and any of them win a belt.
Yeah.
Basically, of them winning a title next year and then so on forth. But I think it's nice to add a bit of that to the TV side of things as well. I think it's just a nice little touch. And yeah, and it was a very interesting backstage segment as well with Styles and Gallows and Anderson.
They're back together.
Are you happy about that or not?
Yes.
Yeah, no, good. I was going to say.
Just need to add Finn in there as well and just make it like.
Well, part of me just really hopes, and again, this goes back to me about the Bray Wyatt thing, not trusting WWE in any sense, but I really hope they're building to something big, as in big, as in it's like dominated storyline telling for months and months to come with the way Styles is building up the club again. I hope they go real. I really hope they go in on it this time and not just have it half-assed like last time.
Yeah.
And it could even be a way to bring in Undisputed Era as well. So I really hope they're building something big here. But I'm waiting for the obvious disappointment. But hey ho, we should still get a great match.
Well, on a Japanese tour, it's going to be Triple H, AJ, and the club teaming up. So I think Triple H just wants to be a member of Bullet Club. That's what it is. I'm also so happy for Drew Gulak winning the Cruiserweight title. Yeah, it's well deserved. And I hope he can take this title to the next level. He's been amazing on NXT recently.
I think if it was on the main show, then it could have been match of the night, to be honest.
Well, it could have. They could have took 7 or 8 minutes out of the Roman Drew match and 10 minutes out of the main event and give it to that match.
Well, exactly.
And it was only 3 hours 15 minutes. It felt like it flew.
So. Mm.
All right, last match we're going to focus on, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, well, I was actually quite impressed this match, in the sense that it went from dickheads in the crowd of booing Reigns and chanting, this is awful, to this is awesome at the end. And sadly, I noticed the trend of how that happened, and it's that little man known as Shane McMahon that actually had a bit of a factor to play. It did help the match, and that's what I don't want to say, because I don't want WWE to get any ideas, but he helped to this match, didn't he? To be fair, has to be said.
I thought there was a little bit too much bullshit from him. I thought they had a pretty solid match going for 5-6 minutes.
It was a solid match. I think if he's going to be out there, let's face it, he's going to give all. He's not just going to watch Reigns beat Drew, not clean. So, well, yeah, you want to sit back and watch Reigns beat Drew. So I think you have to be realistic. He was going to get involved at some point for the whole storyline.
If he gets involved, then Drew should have won. That's the only logic I can see.
Well, I was hoping for that. I mean, I was hoping that at the next pay-per-view, it's Reigns versus Drew in some sort of Extreme Rules match. Reigns wins, and at SummerSlam, he gets his big match where hopefully he knocks Shane off stomach and Shane's off TV for a while. That was my logic. I don't know where they go from here now, but I know there's that match on Raw tomorrow night, Wrestle Handicap. Well, tonight, last night. Sorry, getting confused with all the dates here. I know it's having that tag match on, or handicap match on Raw. So, what will happen in that? Who knows? I take it Shane and Drew will win. It'll set up something towards Extreme Rules. So, I was just quite impressed with Reigns, Drew, and Shane almost, that they did turn the crowd around, because it was looking a bit like, oh no, this is going to really back on. I was just thinking, this is the start of Reigns getting booed again. I do not want to see that. And luckily it won it round, and there was a general pop as well when Reigns won, which was good, which I really want. It's not me just trying to be almost like, oh, I'm only saying this because he came back from cancer. It's not, because they're building him as a face. I've been enjoying his term since he's returned as well, the ovations he's been getting, so I just want to keep it going. And it was nice to see him get another pop. So I think, again, this is happening. I think Reigns, they've done the job with Reigns now. I think he's going to be a steady face now for a while. I don't think we have to worry about the boos almost coming back in.
Yeah, I think people aren't booing him, but they're not. He isn't getting the ovation he should be getting still.
I think this was my only contentious point of the night, to be honest. Drew McIntyre should not have been losing this match.
Not if he's getting help from Shane.
Say that again, sorry, Chris.
So if he's getting help from Shane, he shouldn't be losing.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, if it was a one-on-one match for me, Drew McIntyre shouldn't be losing, because they've done such a great job building up since he come from NXT. Obviously, Dolph Ziggler's bodyguard, and then the tag team match, tag team champion, on his own. Now he's with Shane. Shane's obviously, using nefarious tactics to try and beat Roman Reigns, and obviously McIntyre's there. You could have had the Revival involved, because they were involved in the celebration on Raw, weren't they? Mm-hmm. McIntyre shouldn't have lost this match. I think that was the only decision on the whole of the pay-per-view that I could kind of say, no, you've made a mistake here. He should have won the match, even if he's got to do it with nefarious means, and Shane's got to help him. He should have beat Roman Reigns, because he needs that one big win to push him into main event stardom and get him ready for Seth Rollins. And if he can't get that win, then he's always going to stay around like the upper mid card, isn't he?
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the show as a whole then?
I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good show. I just didn't agree with Drew McIntyre losing. I loved Zayn Owens against The New Day. Loved Ricochet versus Joe. Enjoyed elements of the steel cage match. The SmackDown tag title match was better than expected, and the pro Bryan crowd really helped. The cruiserweight title match was fantastic and would have been one of, if not the match of the night if it was on the main show. Just with the BGW pod Twitter page vote, we've got 0% for excellent, average was 26%, and in a tie, good and really good was 37% each. Mm. So, people are agreeing that the show on the whole was pretty consistent. I think it under-promised and over-delivered, in all honesty. I think from bell to bell, the action was good or better. It did kind of teal off in towards the end and stuff, like you guys have mentioned, but that's just, I think once Drew McIntyre lost to Roman Reigns, that kind of, stayed in my grill kind of thing. He shouldn't have lost that match, but matches were consistent and of a good standard. And yeah, for a show that's, its first show of its kind, a show that we weren't looking forward to, a show that if you didn't, you might not have known was going to happen. And according to WWE Network, it started on Friday night, which was ridiculous. So, pretty decent, and honestly, a good show, or really good show with just that one really big booking error for me.
Yeah, no, as I say, expectations before the show weren't great, if there was any in the slightest. I did enjoy the Go Home Raw before the show. Then I thought the Go Home SmackDown was awful. As it went on, I was really, really enjoying it. So the last two matches just almost made me realise why I wasn't looking forward to the show, which is a shame. But still, as I say, I'll still give it a thumbs up rather than a thumbs down, if I had to mark it as simple as that. Because there was some great matches on there, and I'm still excited to see where a few storylines go to, but it's more, as I say, more of the lower cards. And as I say, I'm nice to see that the tag team match went well, and I also did enjoy the Brian Rowan match with the Heavy Machinery, and I do hope Heavy Machinery stay around in the tag team division as well, because I think they'll get over as well with the crowd. I can see them getting over a bit with the crowd as well.
I think Otis was the star of that match.
I think he'll become a big fan favourite. I can see it as well. So I just hope I would happily have them have almost three matches as well.
Yeah.
This is Ravishing Rohit Raju, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so to finish, I just wanted to discuss a poll we put up on Twitter, following the rumour that Shane's going to win the title from Kofi. We asked, if Shane McMahon wins the WWE title at SummerSlam, would you stop watching SmackDown Live? So Nick, as the only person who regularly watches the show, so would you stop watching if he became champ?
I wouldn't stop deleting it from my Sky Planet. I would just up the speed of how I flick through it, because weirdly, actually, the one thing is SmackDown's actually become worse than Raw since the wild card rule kicked in.
Definitely.
Which is not great, because that used to be, at least when Raw was crap, you go, well, at least SmackDown will provide a bit of wrestling, at least it'll actually be a watchable show. It's actually become the opposite, which is the worrying thing. It almost reminds me, do you remember how before they did the draft in 2016?
Mm.
It sort of feels like that before Fox, it goes live on Fox, whether they're going to do another draft on when it goes live on Fox, I don't know. I hope they do, because I don't like this wildcard one bit. But no, to answer your actual question, Shane does become champion. As I say, won't stop deleting it, but it will certainly be going up from a 15 speed to a 30 speed on fast forward.
Yeah, I've stopped watching it, to be honest. A couple of matches have come to my attention as of late. One that happened last night, which I won't say because it'll spoil it for Nick, and Rollins versus Bryan from last week, so I might try and check that out. But before the draft and this crazy wildcard rule, Raw was the entertainment show, SmackDown was the wrestling show, and now they've kind of mixed the two into both shows, so it's not the best, in all honesty. I don't find it watchable, and I prefer to use those 5 hours of my week in a different way, to watch other wrestling on so like Horror Spots app or Power Slam TV. So yeah, I think if Shane McMahon became the real Universal Champion, it wouldn't stop me watching because I've stopped watching. So yeah, it's just, I don't know, it would be the wrong decision. The right decision for the next Universal Champion is Drew McIntyre. You know, go down that route instead.
I think with this day and age, I don't think I will ever stop watching as such again, just due to the fact of social media and everything these days, in all fairness, because, you know, it's just a case of catching up with results. I'll probably still keep an eye on it and then watch the odd pay-per-view, but I don't think anyone, anything could actually stop me from watching.
No.
And almost, it does help the fact that there is other great promotions out there that keep you love for wrestling, so then you almost do keep an eye on WWE as well, so if you're not, even if you're not watching the product. So so that's, yeah.
I can't remember last time I watched SmackDown Live. I watched the odd match of Hey, Something's Good on YouTube. I watched the highlights on a Sunday morning on Sky One, which I think will stop soon because it's been announced that it's going to BT.
BT Sport, yeah.
So I'm guessing the highlights on Sky One will stop. So
yeah, it definitely will. Yeah, well, it'll only be on BT and. Yeah, I think they've only got BT and ESPN. I don't think Eurosports has nothing to do with BT, I don't think.
No, I'm not sure.
No, so it's just
being
BT.
Is it true
Sport.
That BT Sport and Sky Sports are going to merge, though, Nick?
Well, that's been talked about for a while. As I say, I don't actually know anymore. And I certainly don't say anything whilst being live on air.
Right, so the results of our Twitter poll were 12% said Shane will be a great champ. 17% said no, they won't stop watching. 31% said they'll stop watching WWE altogether.
So, Jesus.
And 40% said yes, they'll stop watching SmackDown Live whilst he's champ.
So the fans are right behind Shane becoming champ then?
Well, 12% of them are. I think he'll be a great champ. So we have a partnership with powerslam.tv where you can get a 3 months access to over 135 promotions, including Progress, Evolve, Rev Pro, and Shine.
This is Progress. Well, you can see me as well because I'm front row on Sunday.
Yay! And we'll get to talk about that next week. Exciting.
Yes. That, and we've got lots coming up for. We've got Progress to talk about in a few months' time. We've got actually next month, we've got one of my favourite shows which I enjoy. Because I don't know, I actually enjoy previewing a WWE show, like we did our preview Money in the Bank, more than the actual show, because it means going back and talking about fun times. So
yeah.
If that's still happening, I'm very much looking forward to doing a sort of our top 10 Extreme Rules moments or Extreme Rules matches or anything hardcore, really.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I've got Wrestle Island in a couple of weeks, so we'll be able to talk about that. And for Father's Day, I got tickets to All Star Wrestling in October, so it'll be fun. So, alright, you could also get podcast favourites, Riptide and North Wrestling, on the powerslam.tv.
Oh, yeah, I might be going there as well in a couple of weeks' time. Lots of wrestling.
Alright, so then you can use the promo code BROKENFREE to get a month's free.
Sorry.
Alright, and we also have plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. Got Britannia wrestling promoter Steve Saxon, our current PCW Canadian champion Jay Walker. We did an interview with Jason from For the Love of Wrestling last week. We've got our next week's show, we'll also have our interview with Michael Elgin, which Steve Jackson did for us. And if you enjoy our show, please check out our brand new website, brokenglorious.com. It's where you not only find our web podcasts and our interviews, you'll find us all the latest news from WWE, New Japan, Impact Wrestling, MLW, Progress, the rest of the British scene, and much, much more. And follow us on Twitter, it's at BBGWPod. And good night.
You'll get my review of Progress. Ooh. If Chris will put it on there.
Yes. Definitely. Good night.
Good night.
And before we go, if I could just promote my wrestling books as well. I've got a British wrestling book, Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, where you can read about the aforementioned Nigel McGuinness, Brian Danielson, ROH World Title, your title match from ROH Unified in 2006, amongst other things. I've got a WWE book, Fans Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, where I go through all the Raw, SmackDown Live, NXT takeovers in that year. And my third book is Fans Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, where I take you through the before, during and aftermath of my live trip to Florida and my live attendance of WrestleMania 24. And they're available on the fansperspective.bigcartel.com, on paperback signed, on Kindle, and on your local Amazon. Thank you very much.
Okay, and we'll see you soon. Good night.
Good night, everyone.